Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest is Alex McFarland, and he is a speaker, author, and advocate for Christian apologetics. He's the founder and president of the National Apologetic Conference, Truth for a New Generation. And he is the only evangelist to have preached in all 50 states in only 50 days. No one has challenged that, so we're going to keep saying it.
One of which I'm aware.
Exactly. And I think that's quite a remarkable distinction. Having traveled the U.S. a bit, that was very remarkable. That is very remarkable. He's the author of over 20 books on apologetics and the Christian faith. For more than a decade, Alex and Bert Harper have co-hosted Exploring the Word, a nationally syndicated live Bible teaching program heard daily on American Family Radio, which if you are not familiar with American Family Radio, you need to become familiar. It's a wonderful network. They're doing great things. And I'm delighted to have Alex on our program this evening because he and Bert have released a new book right here in my hand. 100 Bible Questions and Answers for Families, Inspiring Truths, Helpful Explanations, and Power for Living from God's Eternal Word. So, Alex, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's a great honor and appreciate being on with you. I really do.
Well, it was a delight for me to start. I only got the book yesterday, so I'm not going to pretend I've read it, but I've read a bunch of it. And it's very well written, which doesn't surprise me because you all do a great job on your radio.
Wow. Well, God is good. And, you know, there's a lot you and I can talk about, but I just want to start out by paraphrasing the Apostle Paul, who said, "I'm determined to know nothing but Christ and him crucified," because, you know, Jesus is everything. And
Amen.
I was 21 years old. I grew up in the Bible Belt. And, you know, down south, there's like a church on every corner.
Yes.
That's fine. But it wasn't until I was 21, I was in college, that I went to a Bible study and I heard that Jesus Christ personally loved me and died on the cross for me. And if I would put my trust in Jesus, I could be forgiven of sin and have a life with purpose and
Amen.
Assurance. And let's just say to everybody that might possibly see this, the meaning of life is to put your trust in the Lord Jesus. And if you've
Amen.
Ever done that, do that.
Amen. But,
you know, you and I have not really met before, and yet within a moment of speaking with you, I knew you and I are on the same page because the Lord Jesus is everything in both of our lives.
Amen.
And that gives us instant rapport, doesn't it?
Amen, it does. And we're going to spend forever together.
Yeah, for
That's
real.
A joy. That's a joy. I've traveled the world and met all kinds of folks from all kinds of cultures, and I have much more in common with some folks overseas who I have to speak with through an interpreter than I do with a lot of people here in the States, including some who are biologically related, but who are not part, at least yet, of God's family. And so it's a joy when we connect with our brothers and sisters. And I'm delighted that you and Bert have released this book as a gift to the body of Christ, because as I went through the questions that you raised there, I literally, one of my first thoughts was, I'm going to give this to at least one parishioner, because we have some marvelous new Christians, new believers in our congregation. And they have a plethora of questions. And that is partly because they're new believers, and it's partly because the internet now is flooded with all kinds of information and misinformation, and that provokes questions. Is it true that? What about this? How do we know that? And you all do a tremendous job. Very straightforward answers, and grounded in the truth of God's word, and in the confidence that God's word is truth, and that makes a world of difference.
Well, it does. It really does. And you know what? I'm kind of a pack rat in a way. I keep a lot of notes, and we've done the show Exploring the Word now for 14 years. And people have questions. Now, Bert and I did, about 2.5 years ago, we did 100 Bible questions and answers.
Yes.
And when the publisher asked us about a year ago, do a second volume, you know, I was thinking about calling it 100 More Bible Questions and Answers.
Yeah. But
this one kind of focuses on families and marriage and parenting and things like that. But this morning, as I was prepping that you and I would speak today, all right, via email, I have 500 other questions that I've answered from people that email in, questions that have never really seen the light of day besides me emailing somebody. And then I've got probably 200-300 that are unanswered. So 200 in print, 500 in email. We got 1,000 questions floating around. The good news is there are answers. Like you say, whether it's people that are new to Christianity and they're just kind of learning, you know, the basics of a biblical worldview, or people that sometimes are seekers, sometimes people are skeptics, the good news is that there is an answer.
So
there is an answer. And the Bible is God's word, and you can depend on it. I've spent 37 years as a believer, and I'm convinced that the Bible is the word of God. The Bible is absolutely trustworthy. I'm convinced that Jesus Christ is the one and only risen Son of God, and that in spite of the challenges of life and the dangers of this modern world, there's meaning and purpose and fulfillment and stability when one's life and soul is rooted in Christ. I'm convinced.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm with you. As you said, we're on the same page. Yeah. I think a wonderful approach to understanding the Bible is that it means what it says and it says what it means. Yeah. If you want to hold, what in the world does this mean? Well, what does it say?
Yeah.
What does it say? That's the place to start. And then when you see what it says, that's what it means. And we do need to compare scripture with scripture and let the Bible interpret itself. But so many questions that people have are really answered very, very clearly in the scripture itself. Now, you address questions like one of the ones I've been asked for, did Jesus die on Friday or Thursday? But you go through and you explain, here is why that question comes up. And there are actually two reasons why people are especially prone to wonder about that. And here's why it was on Friday. And you're not ambiguous about that. You don't leave folks hanging. You take a position, which I appreciate. Some folks refuse to take a position. And on anything, you know, I mean, it's all sort of negotiable. Well, on the one hand, Rabbi so-and-so says this. On the other hand, so-and-so says this. But you just go through and say, here's why. And I am confident that in the course of 100 questions, there are going to be people who will not agree with your conclusion on some question, but nobody's going to wonder where you stand. Nobody's going to wonder why you reached that conclusion, because you do a great job of succinctly and clearly answering these questions and giving credible answers that I'm delighted to be able to offer this book as a resource.
Well, to God be the glory. And, you know, did you ever hear of the name? He's been passed away since 1986, Vance Havner.
Oh, sure.
Really, I would have loved to have heard him in person. You know, a real hero to me, but He one time said, we need some one-arm preachers. And somebody said, what do you mean by that? And he said, well, so many pastors will say, on the one hand, this, but on the other hand, maybe that. And in the mid-20th century, there was a thing called dialectic theology.
And yes.
The dialectic said that, you know, for every statement you assert, you should also assert some negative thing. Well, is the Bible God's word? Well, yes, it is, but no, it isn't. And, you know, we're like 50 years into people that just maybe they don't even believe truth exists anymore. Mm-hmm. And we really want people to know that you can know things.
Yes.
Truth exists. God has revealed truth. Truth is that which corresponds to reality. And people actually can know truth.
Amen.
That begins with the one who is truth personified, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. How did you determine which questions to put in this book?
A lot of it was just the rapidity with which these questions get asked. Some questions you might hear once every 5 years, and then other questions you hear like five times a week.
So yes.
A lot of it was just the volume of times that people ask these questions. In 14 years of doing this live radio show, and we're on live every day. I mean, you could count on less than 10 fingers the times in a year that we're not live, you know, Christmas Eve or something like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a great blessing. Bert Harper, by the way, my co-host on Exploring the Word, he was a pastor for 38 years, pastored one of the largest Baptist churches in the state of Mississippi, and just a great guy. You know, I see the sovereignty of God. Let me just say this. It's interesting. I was a youth pastor for 11 years. We started doing a conference called Truth for a New Generation. We do to this day. We've done 50 major citywide conferences.
Right.
And we would bring in, you'll know these, Josh McDowell, Lee Strobel, Chuck Colson, James Dobson, Dinesh D'Souza, you know, all these people. Yeah. And we have had a low of 550 attendees, a high of 8,000. We usually average about 2,500 attendees. And, you know, you do 50 conferences and 25 years goes by. Well, a lot of people approached me and said, oh, Alex, we want to put you on the radio for $1.5 million a year. We'll put you on this network or that network.
Yeah.
And I was like, don't call me, I'll call you. So in 2009, I get a call from Tim Wildman of the American Family Association. And we met in Nashville and had breakfast. And he said, you know, we have 181 stations and we're growing. And, you know, 3.5 to 5 million listeners a day. We want to put you on the radio. And I said, well, Mr. Wildman, you know, that's very nice, but let's talk about money because I don't have any. And it blew me away. He said, look, I don't want money. I'm not going to charge you anything. If you will commit to doing a live radio show, I'm going to put you on the radio. And just all I'm asking, teach the Bible, share the gospel, try to win the lost and equip the saved.
Praise God.
And yeah. And my first co-host was a guy named Marvin Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
Marvin was the guy that really, along with Don Wildman, built the American Family Radio Network. Well, we were only a few months in, and Marvin Sanders, godly man, but he got cancer and was dying.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, we have a guy, and he's on the board of AFR, and he's a pastor. His name is Bert Harper. And as Marvin grew ill, you know, Bert Harper came in to be my co-host. And Bert and I had chemistry and just really hit it off. We every now and then we'll tour and speak together, but it's just been a blessing. I got to say one last thing. Last Friday, a week ago, I was on the radio with Bert, and a guy called in and said, Mr. McFarland, I'm not sure that I'm really a Christian, but I want to make sure, and I've prayed a prayer, but I don't know if I did it right. You know, would you tell me how that I can know that I'm really saved? And I said, you know, let me just say this, because maybe some other people feel that way. And so I'm going to share what it means to truly receive Christ and be born again. And anybody listening, if you're going to pray this prayer, email us and we'll send you some material to help you in your walk with the Lord. Well, 67 people emailed us.
Praise God.
And we gave them some info. And then in the 2 or 3 days since, about another dozen people. And I just give God the glory that one radio show, one caller, and 5 dozen people pray to accept Christ. And so back to your question, we've just kept a tally of the repeat questions. Hopefully it's what's on people's minds. We think it is where people are in their, you know, mentally, intellectually, spiritually. We're trying to, scratch where the itch is.
That's great. Now, you note that some questions that people have, the Bible doesn't answer. How do you address those?
We know the Bible doesn't tell us everything that we might want to know, but it does tell us everything we need to know.
Amen.
You know, exactly what was Jesus doing from age 12 to age 30? We don't know.
Right.
There's no evidence that he went to India and studied under Hindu gurus. I mean, that
right.
I read that in the National Enquirer, but that's not Bible or history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what exactly was Paul's thorn in the flesh? We don't exactly know, you know? Mm-hmm. So there are things the Bible doesn't specifically address. And let me say, you and I are living in an age in which, people ask, you know, well, what does the Bible have to say about, online gaming? Well, it doesn't speak to that because, the internet and mobile devices did not exist 1900 years ago when the Bible was being finished. But the Bible does talk about being a steward. The Bible mm-hmm. talks about using your time wisely. And so while the Bible doesn't say everything about every issue, I do think the principles are there for not only salvation, but for moral living, wise living,
yes.
and for building our life in accord with what God's word says.
Amen. Amen. One of the things I've shared with our students here at the ranch, when I was in high school, I was asked to lead a Bible study at our high school. And in the process of doing that, we got permission to put up some posters inviting other students to come. It was before school. And we met in the dining hall. And one of the posters we put up had a picture of a Bible and said, come and study the best-selling book of all time. And then down below we said, and meet the author. Because the goal of studying the Bible is not just to have more intellectual knowledge about a book that was written a long time ago. The important thing about studying the Bible is coming to know the author, coming to know God himself. And the marvelous thing is that's possible. And it's the desired outcome. And Jesus says that if he isn't seen as what all of Scripture is pointing to, then we're not studying the Bible correctly. So it really is about, as you've described, that personal relationship with the Lord that, if you don't know him, go to the Scriptures, because you don't want to just have the Jesus of your imagination or the Jesus of the internet or whatever. You want to have the Jesus of the Bible.
Exactly.
And then when you get to know about the Jesus of the Bible, try speaking directly to him and saying, please save me. He came to save the lost.
Amen.
Came to save people like us. And so this wonderful book that you have is pointing people not just back to the Scriptures, the book, but in the Scriptures to the fact that you can have this personal relationship with Christ. And that's why I think 100 Bible Questions and Answers for Families is a good resource for people.
Don't you think, in your experience of working with people, and I'm listening to you, your own journey to mm-hmm. Jesus and walking with the Lord, and I could definitely speak to this too, but don't you think people are walking around everywhere thinking about God? I really do think
that. Many are.
Yeah.
Many are. Many are working feverishly not to think about God.
But exactly. But you know what? I interviewed 32 of the world's top atheists. This was about a decade ago. I was going to write one book on atheism, and it became two. I ended up, the publisher asked me to write one book more towards agnostics and skeptics, and one book more toward hard shell atheists. So I went to several bookstores, and the names like Christopher Hitchens, interviewed several times, Richard Dawkins, we emailed. He never would actually consent to an interview, but we did exchange some emails. But David Silverman, president of American Atheist, and quite a number of others.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting, I said to one of the atheists, I said, listen, I've interviewed 32 atheists, and like 28 were ex-Protestants.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is it would always be like some painful thing that would say, well, I used to be a Christian, but X happened, you know, fill in the blank. Yeah. I said to these atheists, I said, look, you guys talk about God more than any preacher I know. And you're right. Some people are thinking about God. A lot of people are trying to frantically think about how to get rid of God.
Yes.
But what's interesting to me, I was in, listen to this, I was in West Virginia about a year ago, and I was interviewing a woman who had just turned 100, and she was very, very articulate. But I asked her, I said, how did you come to know the Lord? And she said that she was a little girl, and her family did not go to church. Her parents were not, you know, Christians at that point, and they lived down in this, you know, hollow. And everybody, they were bootleggers, you know, they make moonshine whiskey.
Yeah.
And she said she was 5 or 6 years old, and she had to get up and go to the outhouse, you know, didn't have indoor plumbing. She said it's like midnight, and there are the northern lights, the aurora borealis. And she said it scared her, and she ran in their little cabin, and she said, wake up, wake up. Now, listen to this. Here's what she told me. She said, I cried, wake up. The Lord's coming back, and not a one of us is ready.
Wow.
And I said, what prompted, you're 5 or 6 years old in rural West Virginia, what prompted you to say that? She said, I have no idea. She said, all my life. And she said, the next Sunday, they got up, went to church, all the family accepted Christ. Lived.
Praise God.
And I said, how did you know to say that? She said, I have no idea what latent innate knowledge. But my point is this. Psalm 19 says the heavens and earth bear witness to the glory of God.
Yes.
And it says day unto day utters speech. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard.
Amen.
Now, people need to open their heart and come to Christ. The way we do that, we admit that we're a sinner. We acknowledge that Jesus proved He is the Son of God by rising from the dead.
Yes.
We accept what He did. He, on the cross of Calvary, paid our sin debt. We can't earn it, but we put our trust in Jesus, and we ask Him, and He'll forgive us. But I'm convinced that it is just part of the human psyche to think about God. And now people need to come to Jesus and be born again. But I really do think the fields are white unto harvest. Part of the reason that Bert and I do what we do is to, as Tim Wildman told us years ago to do, evangelize the lost and equip the saved. That's what Amen. We're all about.
Amen. Well, I am so glad for your ministry, and I'm so glad for your book. And I hope that many of our listeners are going to grab a copy for themselves. It's available. Give us easiest place to get it.
Probably just my own website, alexmcfarland.com.
alexmcfarland.com. We will gladly put a link to it on our website, because again, I think this is a wonderful resource. Happy to recommend it. Delighted to meet you via the internet, Alex, and you pray for us when you think of it, okay?
And vice versa, you pray for us as well. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you. God bless you, sir.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make,
I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.